It's Monday morning after the conference. Now what? Join me, Dr. Thomas Lamar, on this episode of Christian Heritage On Air, as we welcome back the founder of SolveFamilyProblems.org, Dr. S.M. Davis, to address this question as we debrief after the 8th Annual Christian Heritage Family Discipleship and Homeschool Conference. For more information, visit ChristianHeritageOnAir.com. Christian Heritage On Air is a production of Christian Heritage Home Educators of Washington. This webinar recorded on May 7th, 2013. Welcome back. My name is Dr. Thomas Lamar. I'm a homeschooling father of seven, chiropractor by trade, a guy who loves to podcast, and your host for Christian Heritage On Air, a program which looks to encourage, teach, and inspire you with biblical vision for your family and the home education process. Well, welcome once again. It is good to be back. Dr. Thomas Lamar with you. My son Logan running the board and studio with me here in Kingston, Washington. And Danny Craig producing the show and running the webinar platform out in Spokane, Washington. And our guest standing by in Lincoln, Illinois. Isn't technology amazing? Oh, and my wife is here too to help me interact with Danny. I just not very good at the multitasking thing. And you're here too. So this is great. Thank you everyone for joining us. Whether you are live with us tonight or catching this on the timeshare, glad to have you with us. Well, the 8th Annual Christian Heritage Family Discipleship and Homeschool Conference is now in the history books, and what a time it was. I can speak, of course, for the Lamar family. We had a wonderful time. Lots of memories were made, some great teaching, rich fellowship. It was simply great. And you know, here's the thing. Every year proves to be special in its own way. And this year, for me, it was having the opportunity to serve through Christian Heritage On Air. Being live on stage with Logan, interviewing Dr. S.M. Davis, who, by the way, is our guest and will be joining us a little later on in the program. You know, that was one of those memory makers. If you didn't have a chance to catch that at the conference, we now have the audio of that mini interview available in the archives over at ChristianHeritageOnAir.com. And depending on when you are tuning into this episode, the video of that is on the horizon and will eventually be up there as well. Just a quick note for the live attendees. You know, we are counting on you guys tonight to help us with some questions for the guest, Dr. S.M. Davis. We'll have a Q&A session at the end and may even be able to weave a question or two of yours in during the main portion of our interview. I don't know. It takes a lot of people to pull this off, but we do want to encourage you to use the chat box on your screen to get those questions into us. And if you're catching this recording a little bit later on, and you're thinking, hey, how do I join live? This sounds like a lot of fun. Well, simply go to ChristianHeritageOnAir.com for more information. So yes, this conference was special for me because of Christian Heritage On Air. And it enabled me to not only be on stage with my audio engineer son, Logan, but it also allowed me to grab my mic for some man on the street interviews to talk with all of you. Logan, go ahead and play that clip right now. This is Dr. Thomas Lamar of Christian Heritage On Air, and this is absolutely amazing. We are here at the 8th Annual Christian Heritage Family Discipleship and Homeschool Conference here in Redmond, Washington, with a record-breaking attendance of nearly 3,000. And we're taking our mic around, man on the street, and chatting with first-time attendees and regular attenders alike to find out why Christian Heritage.
We've been homeschooling for about 6 years now, and it's just exciting to get around the people, you know, keep getting it into the system and learning new things, and association is great.
When we first started coming, I felt like I was alone in what I was thinking and what I was doing at home, but it's good to come here and realize that there are 5,000 other men that think like I do, and that gives me strength.
It's great. Fantastic. I like the focus on family discipleship. And I think that's great. It's not just homeschooling, it's training up your children.
Isn't that the truth? This is so much more than just a homeschool conference and the how-tos.
That's right. It's exactly.
A lot of the why-tos.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yes. And it's good for us to remember that, because you get in the trenches and you need that encouragement. So it's very good.
It's a sense of community. I don't meet a whole lot of homeschooling families.
Right.
A lot of large families. So we have four kids, and I actually feel like a small family here. So
you are a small family here.
It's an encouragement and empowering to be able to know that we're not alone. There's others like-minded that are struggling with some of the same things, but attempting the same things, and we're their support. And then we see the support here, and it's like, okay.
I have never been part of a convention or seen a convention, and the focus is so dynamically on the family, but not just the what to do, but the why behind it.
What is it about this conference that has been really refreshing for you to see?
That is more family center, that the whole family can come.
It's refreshing and encouraging, and it's just a blessing to be here with other people who are seeking the Lord and trying to raise their kids to love the Lord. And
I love the family discipleship here, and it seems like it's not just about getting the results, but it's the journey along the way as well. And just have really appreciated the focus, as we're sort of the second generation homeschoolers now. It's been a real blessing.
So for somebody who's listening right now who has never attended a Christian Heritage homeschool conference, what would you say to them?
Get here next year, that's for sure. It's a great encouragement to continue. Sometimes we feel like we're the minority, we're on this little island, and it's hard to keep doing what we're doing. But when you come here and you see thousands of people that are walking the same walk, it's great.
You go home exhausted, but energized and blessed.
That was Melanie at the end there. And, you know, what she said is so true. You go home exhausted, but energized and blessed. It's true for the attendees, and I'm sure it's equally true, if not more true, for the folks behind the scenes that pull this conference together year after year. And joining us for a quick segment here to give us his perspective on how the 8th Annual Christian Heritage Family Discipleship and Homeschool Conference went is the president of the board, Mr. Neil Craig. Neil, great to have you on the program.
Oh, good to be with you, Dr. Lamar. I'm looking forward to spending a few minutes together.
Absolutely. You know, well, as I said at the beginning, every year tends to prove itself to be unique. And I'm sure that you would agree with that statement. I'd love it from your point of view, Neil. How did God show himself in year 8?
Well, he indeed did that many ways, as he always does. And certainly this year, there were a set of unique situations. If you can imagine, Dr. Lamar, what it was like to be informed 3 days before the conference was to begin that the keynote speaker was not able to attend any of the conference because of a death in the family. And it made for a challenging time, to say the least. And yet I need to be quick to say that it was a very exciting time just to see what God, our sovereign God, would do. I know for me in my life, there are those situations where things are really going the way I had planned, but it seems like I still have control. I can do something to fix it here or fix it there. But that was not the case in this situation. I felt that I didn't have any control at all over the situation. There wasn't anything I could do to fix it except pray, which we always should do, which we did, and then do the next thing. So, Dr. Lamar, once we received this information, within minutes, we were on the phone calling potential speakers. And can you believe it? By God's grace, within a few hours, we had two different speakers that were willing to adjust their ministry schedule, their personal schedule to come. And I'm talking about men who sometimes it's necessary to book them at least 2 years in advance for them to be available to speak at our conference. But here, 3 days. But God in his graciousness made it possible for us to invite them just 3 days out from the conference. And is that not a miracle, Dr. Lamar? I would say
absolutely.
So.
It is absolutely a miracle. And it just, you know, you're right. There are times when you try to control everything in your little world and then it all crumbles. And then you know that you're not the one in control.
Exactly. That's the way we felt. And so when within those few hours, we got those answers to prayer, we were beseeching God for his provision, and he did it so quickly, we were stunned, but so very grateful. And once that was decided who would be speaking, there were many other details that had to be thought through, reworked by people in various areas, you know, the graphic designer, publications, website, duplicators, printers, information gathered from the new speakers. The list went on, and it was amazing. It really was to see how quickly things fell into place. For example, some of the print jobs were just ready to be started. The presses were just ready to start running. And then they got word that we had to do some changes, so they didn't start the job until the next day when we had enough time to prepare new copy. And we had a lot of experiences this way. Another thing that we saw God do that was just so encouraging was in the area of these. Dr. Lamar, you might remember that last year we had a 47% increase in the number of attendees. And, of course, we had no idea what God was going to want to do this year. But last year, as a board, we prayed for a certain amount. We agreed on a certain number. And the Lord blessed. He blessed beyond what we had even asked for. And so here we were facing this year, and to be honest with you, for some reason, I thought there would be probably less, because each year, except with one exception, our attendance keeps climbing. I guess maybe a man of little faith when it came to that this year, but the Lord richly blessed again, and this year was still the largest conference yet in terms of attendance. So we praise him for that. We know that that was his doing. And his working.
Well, Neil, I got to tell you, when you were up on stage Friday morning welcoming everybody, and you said, you know, can we just get everybody who is brand new to stand up for us? I was kind of thinking in the back of my mind, I don't know, I just expected a lesser number to stand up, but it felt like, from my point of view, like a fifth of the room stood up. It was amazing. It gave me chills.
It really was. It really was. It was very inspiring.
And, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize, but you put so much work into the corral. I had a chance to kind of peek in there, and man, you go through every little detail, every little note. This is amazing.
You know, what's exciting is when you get 200 to 250 young people in front of you who really want to sing, praise the Lord, really want to learn, are ready to work hard. It's amazing what can be done in a few hours. The selections we pick are challenging. And you can ask my family, each year I go and sing, oh no, I bit off too much. I shouldn't pick so many songs. That's too hard. And they amaze me every year. And I've told many people that, you know, in all my years of music experience, this working with this Christian Heritage Chorale has been a highlight, except for one situation, which was kind of an unusual situation. I've never in the 8 years had to ask the crowd to work harder, to listen, to be still, to stop talking. It's like they're always on the edge of their seats. We in the rehearsals, granted, we're in the fast track and we move fast, but they are such an encouragement to me when I see them bright-eyed and looking and listening for the next thing that we're going to do. Mm-hmm. So God be praised. God be praised.
Amen for that. And it's such a blessing for the attendees to hear that hard work, the fruit of that hard work, I should say, at the very end. So I want to thank you for that. Thank you for your leadership of Christian Heritage. We do appreciate you.
My privilege.
And, you know, I know that Neil, we as attendees, we're still catching our breath and trying to absorb and apply all the amazing teaching and vision that we receive from this conference. But you're already putting some of the pieces together for year 9, aren't you? Can you give us a sneak peek? What's in the pipeline for next year?
Yeah, so, we are really excited. Next year, we have the privilege of having Ken Ham coming as our keynote. And I believe he's excited as well. We had him in 2010, and we had a great time together, and I'm expecting the same thing for this year. One of the things that we hear a lot about, it seems like more and more, is that people are coming. One of the main reasons they're coming, not only for encouragement, but they're coming for fellowship. They want to network with others who have the same vision to disciple their children. In fact, someone remarked after the conference this year that they said, and I quote, "Thank you for this ministry and providing this fellowship opportunity. We'll be back." So some of us have already talked about what we might do to help foster or to help make more fellowship possible. So we're looking at our schedule, and we're talking about ways to adjust our schedule to give extended time for attendees to have this time of fellowship together. So that's one change that we have also in the pipeline for next year. And maybe I should be quick to say, Dr. Lamar, that in 2015, it's going to be our 10th anniversary. And so even last year, we were already talking about new things that we want to do for the 2015 conference to make it a great time of celebration, celebrating what God has done.
Wonderful. You guys are already planning your 10. Amazing.
Well, yeah, gotta do it.
Well, Mr. Neil Craig, thank you so much for coming on the program. We want to, and also thank you for allowing the Lamars to serve Christian Heritage through Christian Heritage on Air. It's been great.
Well, let me say on behalf of the board, thank the Lamars. We are so grateful for what you're doing and what your vision for this webinar and just expanding our ministry around the globe. We are so grateful for all the hard work that you are doing.
Well, thank you, and to God be the glory. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, you can find out more about Christian Heritage as well as stay abreast on the next Christian Heritage Family Discipleship and Homeschool Conference by visiting the website at ChristianHeritageOnline.org. Thank you, Neil, for joining us. Appreciate it. Okay, well, getting back to what Melanie was saying in our Man on the Street segment, she said, "You go home exhausted, but energized and blessed." And that is so true. But for some, especially if this was their first time, and maybe they're rather new to homeschooling as well, a conference like this can simply be overwhelming. And that's why we frame this particular episode of Christian Heritage on Air as addressing the question, it's Monday morning after the conference, now what? Here's Jerry from my Man on the Street interviews. Logan, go ahead and play that clip.
I feel a little bit hit like a fire hose or spin so much that I have a very small stomach that I need to digest very much information with. So I'm going to go home and chew on it for weeks and weeks and just absorb and continue to absorb the information for a long time after this. But it's been very good.
And joining us to speak to the Jerrys out there, I am pleased to welcome back to our microphones one of the keynotes of the 8th Annual Christian Heritage Family Discipleship and Homeschool Conference and founder of Solve Family Problems, Dr. S.M. Davis. Dr. Davis, welcome back.
Thank you, Dr. Lamar. It's a joy to be with you. I've been listening to the interview with Brother Craig, and it truly was a phenomenal conference. It really was. I've done a few conferences around the country, and this was just really amazing.
It was amazing, and may I say, being on stage with you was I'll never forget it. Especially when Logan was holding up the applause sign, that was classic. Well, Dr. Davis, as that clip just really kind of laid out, you know, the feeling of being overwhelmed is very common when you come back from a conference such as this. You know, you want to do everything, and yet you realize that you can't. Can you give us some insight on this?
You know, the first thought, I knew you were going to be asking this question, Dr. Lamar, and the first thought that I would share with people is this. Number one, get your vision nailed down and don't lose it for anything. One of the advantages of the Christian Heritage Conference is there were modeled for everyone to see, not just curriculum, not just homeschooling, but there was modeled the fruit of years of parental dedication and labor and love for God. And you could see it in older teenagers and those in their 20s. you could already see the joy in parents because of the fruit in their children's lives. 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth. And the number one thing I would say to people tonight is think about that joy. Jesus said that, or the Bible says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. And there are times, whether we like it or not, where homeschooling, family discipleship feels a little bit like a cross. It's like, how can we carry this load? How can we bear this? But for the joy that is set before you, people have got to get that out yonder. I run into these people. I ran into some in the last couple of weeks. I've been traveling now for 3.5 weeks, just got back home in the middle of the night last night. And I ran into some folks and, well, you know, we'd done this homeschooling for a while, but we got burned out and we decided to try this for a little bit. And you can't get your eyes off the goal. You've got to get the eyes on the goal and keep the eyes on the goal and recognize that there is a purpose for doing what we're doing. And if there's a better way to reach that goal than homeschooling, then somebody please write us and tell us what it is. I've seen the fruit. I was a pastor for 36 and a half years. I've been traveling now just 6-8 months out of the year for the last year and a half. And if there is a better way to reach that fruit, then somebody write, somebody call, somebody let me know what it is. And I'm not talking about just smart kids. I'm talking about a godly youth that bring joy to their parents and make an impact for God on a society that desperately needs to see that godliness with contentment is great gain, and that there's nothing else like it in the world. So that's the first thing I'd say, Dr. Lamar.
Okay, so you have someone who's just come back from this conference, and they've got like just a stack of materials that they've accumulated, and they don't even know where to start. And we're talking, of course, about, you know, as I said in the Man in the Street interview, I know that Christian Heritage does such a wonderful job of not only giving you some of the how-tos of homeschooling, but really the why-tos, you know, why you're doing what you're doing. You did a workshop on entitled How Right Priorities Prevent or Solve Life's Biggest Problems. And I was wondering if you could kind of maybe weave some of that content into just if we get our priorities straight, a lot of the how-tos are just going to kind of hopefully kind of fall in line. Isn't that correct?
Yes, sir. It absolutely is correct. Right priorities prevent problems. Right priorities solve problems. And wrong priorities create problems that can only be solved by people getting the right priorities. And, of course, the first thought there is that priorities are never in relation to things. The stuff of life is not the stuff of life. The real stuff of life is the relationships that we have with God and other people around us. And so we have to make sure that our priorities as far as relationships are concerned. It is so easy in a world that is crazy over money and crazy over things for us to think that the way we get ahead in this world is to really focus on making money and the job and all of that. And that's all important. And I'm not making light of it by any stretch of the imagination, but we've got to make sure that our relationships are right. The number one relationship of life must be our relationship with God. There could be somebody who's listening to us tonight, Dr. Lamar, who is a good person, who may be a church member even, but has never truly been born again, never truly established the relationship with Jesus Christ, and to repent of sin and receive Christ as Savior is the most important thing of all. And then just determine, God, I want to know more about you every day and grow in that relationship. And then honestly, You know, with the homeschool emphasis, if we're not careful, we will miss the fact that the next most important relationship of life is with a person's mate. Sometimes husbands sort of just dump all of this on their wives and say, we're going to homeschool and you take that and run with it. And if you need something, you let me know. And, you know, he needs to realize that he's got to build his relationship with his wife and then also with his children. We actually talked to a wife sometime in the last few weeks who was just almost totally burned out. Our heart went, my wife spent quite a bit of time talking to her, and she was just really almost at the end of her rope. And when you talk to a wife like that, you'll find out that usually the husband has not been taking time for his wife. I say to men when I travel and speak, fellas, your wife needs to talk. And more than you know it, you need to listen. And you have to set aside specific times. I suggest a minimum of once every couple of weeks where just you and your wife go somewhere, sit down, look across the table at each other, and you listen to her and you respond and you sort of push the reset button and see how we've been doing the last couple of weeks and what we need to be doing now in the future. And if a man's relationship with his wife isn't right, then their relationship with the children isn't right. So while we're talking about the feeling of the fire hose overwhelming us, then let's start with these relationships. Let's start with, I want to make sure my relationship with God is right. And so let's have family devotions. Let's read the Bible and pray together as a family. Let's have meal time together where the whole family takes time, sits down around the table, and we listen, talk, and touch those three things that are necessary to get and keep the hearts of our children, listening, talking, touching. Just simple, simple. Yeah, there's a whole lot to be done, but after the relationship of the husband and wife, then is the relationship with the children, and the relationship with the family. The family relationships must be a priority over the job relationships. One of the greatest testimonies I've ever heard, I don't remember his name, but I heard it early in the conference. A gentleman who gave a brief testimony and told how that he had been all about making money and the job, and I believe he was overseas on a trip and was talking to his wife and realized he was about to lose his marriage, about to lose his family, and he had to choose between his job and his family. And he flew home, lost his job, kept his wife, kept his children, and he said, I've never regretted that move. Mm-hmm. I've never regretted the fact that I did that. It was only a few words that he said, but it was like, this is what it's all about. This man gets it. He understands it.
That was so powerful.
He knows where his priorities are, and that is so tremendously important.
Absolutely. And I just kind of want to drill down a little deeper on this because this is so important. And you in one of your talks, you mentioned that you could have two fathers, both of whom are spending equal time with their families, yet one. Mm-hmm. One's priorities is a little flip-flopped. His job is on the top of his priority list, while the other one, yes, his family is on the top. Yes. And yet they're both spending the same amounts of time with their families. But the one who puts his job as a higher priority is far more likely to have problems in the home. Can you talk us through how this man can go about flipping his priorities? Give us a little bit more of that and what it's going to look like.
You know, he could even spend more time than the other man. The man with the wrong priorities could spend more time with his family than the other man and still have more problems. How does he flip these priorities? How does he get this where it ought to be? It is an inner thing. It is in his heart. How does he get this like it ought to be? I would suggest that he sit down with his wife and children and look at them and say to them, I want y'all to know I've had it all messed up. And I don't want you to misunderstand me. I'm not quitting my job tomorrow, but the job and the work and the other people I work with are no longer the top priorities of my life. The top priority of my life, look at the children and say, my top human priority is your mom. Anything, honey, that you truly need, I will do whatever I have to do to meet that need. I could illustrate this right now for you, Dr. Lamar. We got home in the middle of the night last night. We drove 2,600 miles back from Washington and spoke at a South Dakota homeschool convention and then in Nebraska on Sunday and then drove home on Monday and got home really late last night. And my wife needed a medical procedure done today. And then we were talking about what we were going to do. Well, we got a granddaughter who accidentally got hit in the head with a bat. And there, it was going to be a 30, 45 minute drive one way for us to go see her. And I said to my wife, I said, she's a priority. Mariah's more important than anything else. Right now, we just drop everything. We just go see her. And she's actually doing pretty good. They had taken her to the doctor yesterday. But we had 100 things, both of us, to do today. But our granddaughter needs the encouragement of seeing grandpa and grandma. And anything we can do, I've got a grandson who is overseas on a missions trip right now. And I said to him several weeks ago, he's been gone for like 3 months. I said, now, Caleb, you know, if you need grandpa, he'll be in the Philippines with you. All you have to do is call and say, grandpa, I need you. You know, I never called, but there's something about a man's wife, children, grandchildren, simply knowing if you need me and it's humanly possible, I'm there. Mm. Whatever you need, I'm there. Whatever it takes, I'm there. Whatever it is, I'm there. And if it means something else has to be left undone, then the other gets left undone. And that's how I would suggest you do it. And I really hope some men out there will catch the vision and take the challenge and do it. And you know what, Dr. Lamar, there is a joy and a peace in a man's heart when he does this. Could I tell you, it just feels right. Mm-hmm. In your spirit, there's a joy that comes with that, that the man out there who's just about job and making money and getting ahead in this world, I'm telling you, he's losing it. He's missing out on it. He doesn't get it.
You know, just to kind of piggyback off of that, I can't multitask very well. My wife is writing me notes. I have a question, honey. Hang on. So what I wanted to ask you was, it's so important that the fathers kind of get that right because of what you said in one of your workshops. You said that the number one way to prepare a young man to be a good businessman, so getting back to maybe the homeschool curriculum, if you will, the number one way to prepare your young man or your young woman to be, you know, good out there in the world is to first prepare him to be a good husband and father. And if dad has it all backwards, then little Johnny doesn't have anything to model after.
That's it. Yes, sir. And we think that the way we prepare him is by sending him off to the government schools and then by paying an enormous amount of money for him to go to some kind of university. And I'm not being critical of anybody here, but I have dealt with too many people, even homeschool families, that then they graduate. And I hope to lift somebody's vision here right now, Dr. Lamar, and say, your children don't have to have, they don't have to be brainwashed by unbelieving professors in order to make it in this world. It is not necessary. It doesn't have to happen. And whoever is over your child at whatever age, you put put him in whatever classroom. And I wouldn't say that a child should never, ever be in any kind of classroom of any sort. I wouldn't say that. But whoever is over your child is going to disciple your child. Would you want Satan himself to disciple your child? Why would you pay tens of thousands of dollars for those who are in league with Satan to disciple your child? And we wonder why they lose their faith. And it is not just the evolutionary teaching that is destroying the faith of our children. And yes, that is deadly, and I'm not making light of the danger of that. But it is the fact that we have unbelievers and secularists and atheists and agnostics and infidels who are discipling Christian children, and their parents are paying an enormous price to get it done because they say, oh, but he's got to get that job. Then there's some way for him to get that training without allowing some professor out there to crack his head open, take his brain out, and put sawdust in his place.
Wow, that's a visual, isn't it?
I want it to be.
Dr. Davis, we're kind of getting to a point where we're going to wrap up our little interview part here, and we want to encourage everybody to get your questions in. We have a Q&A coming up here in just a little bit. You can type those into the chat box. I'd like it if you could speak to the women out there. We've been talking a lot about the fathers right now, and of course that is that's foundational. But what about the mom out there who is trying to kind of juggle all of this, and she feels overwhelmed, and maybe she has some praying to do about dad getting on board. Can you give her some encouragement about what to do here on Monday morning?
Let me answer that to both the dads and the moms, okay? First of all, I would encourage dads to get involved in the training of their children if it is all possible. When my girls were still at home and we were homeschooling, I personally took the first 1 to 2 hours almost every morning and taught my girls. I used the Bible. We did wisdom searches. We did English studies and spelling studies and grammar studies right out of the Bible itself. We discussed the principles of the Word of God, and I kicked off the day most days doing that until my wife could come in later, and it took some of the pressure off of her, and I think so many families could do so much better if there was some way. If the father can't do it in the morning, then maybe he could do it in the evening, and he could take an hour to do that. I was asked at the other homeschool convention I did last week, a lady lifted her hand, and she asked, what do you do when the husband is just not involved? And actually, I think I really surprised her with my answer, because she needs to try to get her husband involved. And the answer for a wife in motivating a husband is to follow the biblical command to wives to reverence their husbands. I have a whole message on the subject how a wife can use reverence to build or save her marriage. And reverence will move a man almost any direction he needs to be moved. But our society, even among Christians, there is almost no teaching in this area, and it is the most important thing that a wife can learn. Reverence moves a man, motivates a man, and helps mold him into the kind of man that he is supposed to be. And so I know I answered that sort of backwards, I think, but I really believe it is the way that it needs to be answered. Because if he is not helping and she is overloaded, if she can change her focus, and I'm not saying she shouldn't continue to do what she's doing in training the children, teaching the children, but if these children are going to turn out right, if we're truly going to turn out the next generation like it ought to be, Dr. Lamar, fathers have got to be involved. Otherwise, it is seen by older teenage boys, it's seen as a ladies' thing, and they walk away from it. Mm. So we've got to get our men involved. in order to do that.
Amen to that. I totally agree. Hey, before we get into our Q&A here, I'd love it if you could tell our listening audience a little bit about your Solve Family Problems ministry and how people can connect with you.
Our website is solvefamilyproblems.org or solvefamilyproblems.com. Ours is primarily a DVD ministry with me speaking and lots of on-screen graphics coming up as I speak to hold attention and to communicate truth. And we deal with almost any particular, any family issue you can name. We have a DVD that addresses it. We have over 100 DVDs now. And they can find those online. They can also get them in CD or they can get them in MP3 form. We have an MP3. We have a DVD that has 150 MP3s on it that has most of the main messages in this ministry on that. Especially, Dr. Lamar, I would especially also, we're talking about, boy, we've got all these things that we learned at the conference. If there's a father or a mother who has a problem with anger, then get our anger DVDs, the anger series, start watching one a week, set aside a night every week, and start watching with the whole family until we get the anger out of the life. Because if there is a marriage problem and an anger problem, you can't fix the marriage till you fix the anger. Same is true of parenting. Anger is the destroyer. And you can do everything else. You can be in a good church. You can homeschool your children. You can disciple your children. You can spend time with your children. You can love your children. You can do it all. And if there's somebody out there and there's an anger problem in the home, you're probably going to lose your children about age 15. It's probably going to start, and they're going to fall like dominoes, one right after the other. We hear about it. We see it all the time. It is the hot-button issue that not enough people are hitting that we've got to deal with. If we don't get the anger out of the home, then no matter what else you do. So that is as far as the priority for a father and mother in relation to themselves to get the anger out of the home and replace it with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance.
Excellent. I'm so glad that you brought up the anger thing because it's huge. And you're right. It doesn't get talked about nearly enough. Well, Dr. Davis, so glad that we were able to have you back on the program for a lengthier stay, not to minimize being live on stage with you. That was amazing. It just wasn't long enough. And in just a moment, we're going to move into our Q&A with S.M. Davis. But before we do that, I want to direct your attention to some of the great things that Christian Heritage has planned for everybody. I realize that some of you may be catching this recording later on, but we are live right now on May 7th, 2013. Regardless if you are in that time of frame or maybe you're years down the road, go ahead and check out ChristianHeritageOnline.org under the Events tab for more information on what's coming up. But this is what's coming down the pike. If you are someone who is beginning to homeschool or investigating the idea, or maybe you're looking to reevaluate, refresh, and tune up your home education program, then you're going to want to check out one of the 2013 Regional Homeschooling Nuts and Bolts seminars happening in various locations throughout Washington State during the month of June. Also, Christian Heritage has their regional kickoff picnics happening in September, actually September 7th, 2013. In six different locations in Washington. This is a chance to connect with old friends, meet new friends, and build some lifelong relationships with people that are really on the same page as you. And it really simply is a great day for fun and fellowship. And if all that weren't enough, it's free. So don't forget your lawn chairs, picnic baskets, and game supplies. And bring other homeschooling families too. That's September 7th. And then, of course, there's Christian Heritage On Air, what we're doing right now. And we are going to be slipping into an every other month production for a while as we work up to an event that Christian Heritage is partnering with for October 11th and 12th of 2013. And that is the Family Economics and Mentorship Conference in Ocean Shores, Washington's best oceanside getaway. Join us for this vision-packed nuts and bolts conference on family economics and mentorship for the whole family. Featured speakers include Kevin Swanson, R.C. Sproul Jr., Eric Weir, Diego Rodriguez, Steve Rydell, and Dave Tucker. And so whether it's the powerful speaker lineup, the interactive panel discussions, or the opportunity for one-on-one encouragement, you will be equipped to take the next steps in incorporating a biblical vision for your family's economic, education, and life preparation on all levels. By the way, I'm told it's the sunniest time of the year in Ocean Shore, so bring your beach toys. And I'm also told that only a couple of early bird discounts remain, and that they only have room for about 50 more families. So go ahead and get your registration in as soon as possible. Check out ChristianHeritageOnline.org for more information on everything we just talked about. And finally, our plan here on Christian Heritage On Air is to catch you on the first Tuesday of July, July 2nd, 2013, to look ahead to the Family Economics and Mentorship Conference by having a conversation around the focus of the mentorship aspect that this conference refers to. Our episode will be entitled Four Steps to a Life-Changing Mentorship, and that will be with conference speaker Steve Rydell and our own Danny Craig. So I'm looking forward to that, and hope you'll join us. ChristianHeritageOnAir.com is where you want to go for more information. Okay, it's time for the Q&A session right now with Dr. S.M. Davis. Let's go ahead and see what questions are coming in. Carrie has them queued up for me here. This one here is from Susan. She says, I love the conference. It is my first year homeschooling my six-year-old adopted twins, and I'm a single parent, have been single for 14 years. Our days are not too structured, but we certainly get our curriculum done each day. Would it be better to have a set of would it be better to set a predictable schedule, do you think, for stability? The twins are doing very well, but would it be better to be more structured?
When you get into the hands-on nuts and bolts of homeschooling, I don't claim to be very good in that area, Dr. Lamar, but I do know that a structured, scheduled home environment is better for everyone. No question about that. And yes, she should, especially as a single parent, she needs it even worse probably than other homes. That is critically important.
Okay. I have a little question for you. What does SM stand for?
Simple-minded.
it's something that's been kind of burning. I didn't know what it was. Here's one from a younger listener. He says, for the young people listening, how can we help and encourage our parents as they seek to implement what they learned at the conference? Good question.
Wow. That is an incredible question. Whoever asked that question, I want to commend them for their honor toward their parents to even think of such a question. And, of course, just to honor and respect and obey, those are just bottom line character issues for children and young people. I spoke to a young man for a while today about how critically important it is for him to respect the authority of his father and follow his father, and how God speaks through the authorities that he places over our lives. That's not to say that parents should be dictatorial rulers over their children, but it is to say that God gives authority for a reason. And, you know, when you've got children, especially when the older children are beginning to help with the responsibility. By about age 9 or 10, children should be carrying their own load, and by about age 11 or 12, they should be helping mom and dad carry the load of younger siblings as well. And then lots of 13, 14-year-olds, you've got Jesus at age 12, took care of himself completely for 5 days. Think about that. And he himself chose to be in the temple listening to the doctors, asking them questions. They were amazed at his wisdom. And there are many 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds who basically are getting their schoolwork done because they have learned the character quality of responsibility. And they get up in the morning, and they get on their schoolwork, and mom and dad just sort of guide them through it. And that is a tremendously helpful thing. And then they're also helping their younger siblings at the same time. Wow, what a question, Dr. Lamar. That's tremendous.
Great question. Question now from Josie. She says, our son just turned 16 last week. In what specific ways should we be intentional in how we disciple and raise him this year?
He just turned 16. In what ways? Here's what, if I were talking to him, I would say to him, a young man at age 12 should have the 7 key character qualities that Jesus had in his life at age 12. He had 7 outstanding things. I have a message on that entitled What to Expect from a 12-Year-Old. And then by age 20, a young man crosses the line of demarcation drawn by God himself and becomes directly responsible to God himself for his decisions. He's a fool if he's not listening to his dad and mom, respecting them, seeking their counsel, and so on. But at age 20 was when a man became a soldier in the army of Israel. He was numbered as a man and as a leader in Israel. I would be saying to a 16-year-old, you are 4 years away from being a 20-year-old. And at age 16 in history, many people accomplish phenomenal things during their teenage years that made their mark on history during their teenage years. And I would say to him, certainly you can as well. We have this idea that teenagers, and it's a very dangerous idea, we refer to them as adolescents. And adolescence, that was not a period of life that was even known up until the last few decades. And suddenly, we have all these immature, disrespectful adolescents who think that you just have to be wild and rebellious. That is not a goal at all. By age 15, 16, by age 12, young man should be have those things Jesus had. And then after that, the teenage time bomb is totally defused, and this young man is developing, he is committed totally to God, committed to serving others. He's already seeking out ministry, seeking out ways to reach people for Christ, seeking ways to serve his mom and dad, seeking ways to serve his pastor in his church, and he's already catching a greater vision of God's purposes for his life. I'm not sure I answered that question exactly, but that's sort of what I feel in my heart that we're trying to communicate there.
No, I think that was great, and you definitely gave some good things for our listeners to consider there. Last question as we begin to kind of go into our wrap-up. This one's from John. He says, many churches tell men to have other men for sounding boards. Would it not be better to make a wife or your wife the first sounding board?
Yes, sir, I absolutely agree. I do think it is great for men to have accountability partners in other men. But I think a man's best friend to start with, in my message on understanding the blessings and hazards of friendships, I point out that the biblical definition of a friend is that a friend is someone who shows care for you, shepherds you, and guides you. And that is true whether it is a good friend or a bad friend. A good friend shepherds you the right direction and so on. Bad friend shepherds you the wrong direction. But a man's best friend ought to be his wife. My wife is sitting right here right next to me right now. And she just twittered a bunch of people and told them that her wonderful husband, I read what she wrote and I thought, I'm her wonderful husband. That's nice. And she said, my wonderful husband is online at this place right now. Somebody wants to listen in. And my wife is really my best friend. She is my number one counselor, without a doubt. She's my number one sounding board. She has helped me virtually every major message I've preached for years. My wife has helped me to understand those truths. I would get stuck right in the middle of a message trying to understand some truth that I was trying to bring out, and I would begin to talk to her, and she would talk to me, and suddenly the truth would clear up, and I would have some real nuggets that I could share with others. So without a doubt, a man who doesn't have that in his wife and doesn't seek that in his wife. By the way, there's some man out there sitting there right now saying, well, that's not my wife. But it's because he hasn't helped develop her into that. If he begins to, there's a verse in Proverbs that talks about, and I'm paraphrasing this, I don't have it exactly right, but wisdom in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out.
Mm-hmm.
And God puts inside a man's wife what that man needs more than from almost anybody else, but he has to draw it out of her. Sometimes, like a man would work the old buckets that went down in the deep wells years ago, and you'd stand there, and I did that when I was a boy, drop that bucket way down in that well and draw that water out, and it was work. And sometimes a man has to recognize that his wife is given by God wisdom for him. If Pilate had listened to the counsel of his wife concerning Jesus when she said, have nothing to do with that just man, I've had nightmares because of him. And if he'd have listened to his wife, there are so many men that are missing out on so much because God gave them a wife, and he gave them just the right wife. And don't think there's another woman out there that'd be better. No, that's not true. It's, sir, the men listening to me right now, it's your wife you need to be listening to, and she's got something to say, and if you'll listen, it's tremendous.
There's some good stuff. Dr. Davis, what can I say? This was so wonderful having you on the program once again, and you now have the distinguished honor of being the first guest on Christian Heritage on Air who has been on twice.
Well, I'm thrilled and honored, that's for sure. And both times, what I've done, I've never done before. So.
Well, you sound like you're a veteran at this. So wonderful. As we wrap up, I'd love it if you could give our audience a final word. But I want you to try to bring it back to what our original question was all about. It's Monday morning after the conference. Now what? Can you give us a final word to kind of leave us with this episode?
The vision of the next generation is something that people have got to get in their heart and in their soul. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. I would say to the dads and moms who are right in the thick of all of this with the children, you're in your 30s or 40s, fast forward, your 50s, your 60s, and your children are serving God, they're doing right, they're with their original mate, they're raising now the next generation for God, they'd love for you to be around. We've been gone for 3.5 weeks on this trip, and our children, we've seen two of our daughters and their husbands and their children today. We were at their homes, and I said to them, oh, I've been gone too long. And they said, Grandpa, you've really been gone a long time. And my little granddaughter, she said, Grandpa, I missed you. You've been gone so long. I said, I missed you. I've been gone so long. And there's a joy. And just to see your children doing right, there is no greater joy than your children walk in truth. And they're going to walk in truth or error. You have the opportunity now to put that truth in them. Don't sacrifice that opportunity and let somebody else, because it's just so much work. Don't let somebody else put error in them that messes up their life.
All right, everyone. That music is a sign that this episode of Christian Heritage on Air is coming to a close. Once again, I want to thank our guest, Dr. S.M. Davis, for joining us on the program. Thank you, Dr. Davis.
Thank you.
You can find out more about Dr. Davis over at solvefamilyproblems.org. And you can keep in touch with us with your feedback and comments over at ChristianHeritageOnAir.com. We love to hear from you. We're here to serve you and help you as you move through your family discipleship and homeschool journey. Thank you to Danny for all of his expert behind-the-scenes work. Thank you to Logan for running the board. Thank you to Carrie for helping me to multitask. And thank you to everyone on the board for this fantastic opportunity to serve. So until next time, this is Dr. Thomas Lamar, and may God bless you as you diligently pass on a vibrant Christian heritage to your children for God's glory. Good night, everybody, and God bless. For more information on this Christian Heritage program, find them on the internet at ChristianHeritageOnline.org. This program is produced by Christian Heritage Home Educators of Washington, copyright 2013.